live in Vancouver, BC, the Riders and Lions on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Thank you wherever you're listening. We appreciate you being with us across the radio network. This is going to be a tremendous, tremendous game and a battle for second place. And no one better to help us set up a big game than Glenn Suter. Suits, what's going on?
Well, if you had a CFL season with a marquee, if there's a marquee that you drive by that represents to this point in the CFL season, then the two names on the marquee would be Saskatchewan Rough Riders versus BC Lions in BC Place right now. This is the game. I mean, I'm overplaying it slightly, but this to me is the game of the year so far, and I include Labor Day's in that.
Do you include Wednesday's Hamilton-Ottawa game in that? Oh, you do?
Are we going back there? Another segment of why?
Confirm. Yeah. Why? Why? Yeah. Why did we play that game whatsoever? 4-2, two 4-2 teams. The team that wins this game, the Riders, of course, will be within a game of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers right for first place. Of course, the Riders are in a rough spot there. And even if the Riders don't come out on top, there's point differential that will come into things. There are so many things to think about. And one of them is that these two teams, from what we saw in week number one, are both pretty dramatically different. The Riders with injuries and BC with, man, they've got their stuff together now.
They do. You know, you mentioned Michael Riley being on top of his game, MOP type form. His elbow, according to him, has come back every week stronger, and that's what they expected. It's still there. He's still getting treatment on it, but it has come back every week, and following the game, he has been fine and just taken another step in the progression. So the arm is great, and you can see it in the deep balls. Mm. You know, the big matchup I'm going to be looking at is the short side of the field tonight, with Ed Gainey and Nick Marshall back together, and Lucky Whitehead and Brian Burnham, and what that combination can produce. Because as you know, Lucky Whitehead has exploded. He's exploded in the receivers list in the top 10. He's number one all this year so far. So, and he's been explosive. Those big plays down the field that Riley hits him on, do the Riders zone it off? That puts Gainey in his comfort zone, because yep, Gainey loves playing those zones, dropping back deep and then just playing the football. He loves that. Remember the 10-pick season back in 17.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm going to be focused in on that matchup. I'm just going to watch those four guys battle it out tonight, because that's, again, top of the marquee, those four names.
Well, and let's talk about the defensive backfield for the Riders, because, again, there have been some changes, and some of it is getting back to normal with Marshall and Gainey on the one side. But Luchez Purifoy goes from his halfback spot to safety. Christian Campbell was filling in at the corner. He goes to the other side of the field to play halfback. Blaise Brown has been banged up. Godfrey Onyeka remains the Sam linebacker, which is essentially a defensive back. How do you think all those changes, it's changed for, gosh, three straight weeks here. How does that affect them, and how can they combat whatever ills might befall them being new guys in new spots?
Yeah, well, that's the communication question that you have. So you look to that wide side of the field, and you know, they will, on every single coverage, they basically will look at each other, and they'll call a sort of extension of the coverage. So let's say it's cover three, which is a simple three-deep zone. Well, Campbell and Brown on the outside have to communicate who's got the short zone and who's got the deep zone. If you miss that communication and the ball is snapped and you've got two guys short, obviously that's a disaster. Mm. You've got two guys deep, it's not a disaster because you can rally to a tackle underneath, but you have an open BC receiver. Don't be surprised to see Christian Campbell tested at the halfback spot. I'm, you know, they may even move Lucky Whitehead, the Lions, into that wide field slot back spot, maybe number three or even four, see where they can get that matchup if the Riders play man. So again, the chess match between OCs and DCs going both ways is going to be fun to watch tonight.
It absolutely will. A little more than an hour away from kickoff here at BC Place, the Riders and Lions. Let's talk about the Riders on the offensive side. Kian Schaefer-Baker has been the story for the Riders the last 2 weeks. 7 catches 2 games ago, 9 catches for 99 and a touchdown this past week. What do you see when you look at KSB?
Well, I think he's got a huge upside that we're just scratching the surface. I really do. We've seen him break tackles on those quick hitches, quick slants. He's caught the ball well, but he breaks a couple tackles. That great run for the touchdown last week. You know, I mean, this guy has shown us that he can do that. He can win the jump ball. We've seen that a couple of times on that 50-50 contested catch. And he has certainly earned the trust of Cody Fajardo, because when you talk to Fajardo about him, boy, he's nothing but praise, like sort of, he was the camp all-star. He's been developing very well. We see it on the field now. And we're just scratching the surface. But you can tell by just his tone that he trusts him completely. So, you know, without overthinking it, because I know Fajardo doesn't want to do that when it comes to his deep ball, as we've all talked about all year. he doesn't want to overthink that and wants to just run the offense. But I think he could take some shots, even if there's coverage on Schaefer-Baker. Go ahead and take some shots and let your guy win the 50-50 ball, because he's playing with great confidence. Why not?
The guy Schaefer-Baker will line up next to has been a topic of conversation. Ricardo Lewis in 3 games and 4 catches and 9 targets in those games and a couple of drops. A guy who, he ran a 4.43 and he's a big body and, man, he's so fast and he runs his routes real well. Maybe deep balls are the answer for him. Maybe something more. Do you want more from Ricardo Lewis, or is this? I think some fans think this is a lost cause, and why is he still in there?
No, I don't think he's a lost cause because of the reasons that you mentioned. He's running precise routes. He's doing what he's asked to do, and that's what the video has shown the coaching staff. So that means it'll just be a matter of time before he gets, he gets his opportunities. He only had 1 target last week. So first of all, he's going to have to earn the trust and get a couple more targets. But this is a guy that in the NFL draft, he goes to the Cleveland Browns in the 4th round. There were 33 picks that year at wide receiver. 33 wide receivers picked in the NFL draft in 16. Now, this isn't an exact science, as you know, but he was number 13 overall of the 33 receivers picked that year.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill was 54 picks later.
No way.
Behind, Ricardo Lewis. I mean, this incredible. this is a guy that has all the measurables. So, and if he's running the routes that he's supposed to be at the right depths and all of it, and that's what the coaching staff is saying to me anyway, I'm sure they said it to you, then it'll just be a matter of time, and he'll get going.
That would be fantastic, as Rider fans wonder, where's Paul McRoberts, and why this guy and not Paul McRoberts? Certainly hoping for some breakout tonight, as we're about 57 minutes away from kickoff. William Powell, really, the running offense through the running back, really got it going last week with, fullback and Josiah St. John as offensive lineman tight end. Can they keep doing that? Because they led that whole game and they can run the ball. Do you think that's functional if BC goes out and puts 8 points on the board to start with?
Yeah, you got to stick with it. You know, especially in our game when you can have so many possessions. I mean, in 3, 4, 5 minutes left in a game, you can have 6 possessions offensively. So, yeah, I think you have to maintain that balance, and they're having success with it. Now, if the Lions are loading the box and putting 8 defenders within, the tackles and 1 to 3, 4 yards off the line of scrimmage, well, then you're just hitting your head against a brick wall, and you need to throw behind that. That's what you do when you read defenses and play that chess game. So if we see that, then no, you go away from it. Maybe you get William Powell outside on those little swing passes, get him out in space in that scenario. But I still think you get the ball in his hands. You know, he is hot. He's feeling it. He's in the zone. If you're an athlete, you have an athlete in the zone.
Yeah.
Feed him the rock. Let him go.
Yeah, 22 carries last week. Now 87 for 406, approaching 5 yards a carry for William Powell at this point in the season. A final one for you before we let you go, because you've got some other work to do. Give me the biggest challenge you see for the Riders tonight.
Containing Michael Riley and the passing game, keeping him as far under 300 as they can, meaning that he doesn't hook up with the deep ball to a Brian Burnham or a Lucky Whitehead, and keep everything in front of him. Not to play soft, but play aggressive, good defense in the back end, get a pass rush, and keep Riley under 300. Because the Lions have very little, if any, of a run game so far this season. You know, I don't think you got to worry about that, but you got to contain Whitehead. You got to contain Burnham.
Their absolute lack of a running game is shocking when you see it statistically. So, yeah, I liked your thought of that. He is Glenn Suter, joins us in every pregame show and a couple times a week on the Sports Cage. Great to see you, my friend. Thank you for being with us, and go Riders.
Have a great call, guys. Hey, I'm neutral.
Glenn predicts Riders by five. Riders by five, he says.
No predictions.
Glenn Suter, nice enough to be with us. We are here for Access Communications. Sask Milk, the wireless age, your Sastel authorized dealer, McDougal Auctioneers, and Salford Group. Next up, we'll hear from Coach Craig Dickinson and Cody Fajardo. This is the beginning of a long spell of road games for the Riders. We'll hear from them about how they expect to have success as they go on the road to wrap up the season. Gosh, most of the last half of the year will be done away from Saskatchewan. 54 minutes to kick off Riders and Lions on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor, is breaking down today's matchups with players, coaches, and all the in-depth stats. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation Pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
51 minutes to kick off in BC. It's the Riders and Lions on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network for Young's Equipment. The Cooperators, see Aaron Colavelle at Aaron & Associates Insurance in Regina and Advantage Crop Protection. The Riders have a really nice home record thus far, 4-1. Only two home games remain, however, and six of their next eight games, including this one, will be on the road. We asked Coach Craig Dickinson if they have any tips that they give players for success when they're traveling.
Well, we try to just keep them busy. You know, that's the one thing. We go over the night before, so we're not over there two nights in advance. And we try to have things going for them so that they stay busy. You know, we got meetings in the evening we go to. We try to keep them busy during the day. But, you know, at the same time, we don't want to wear them out. So we try our best to keep them focused on the task at hand. But they're going to have some free time on, you know, the day of the game. We play at 7:30 West Coast time. So they're going to have some time. And they're just going to have to be smart about what they do. Hopefully they just sit in their hotel, get a good sleep in and just relax. But that's part of going on the road, and that's part of being a pro athlete, is you got to make good decisions when you're being supervised and good decisions when you're not supervised.
Vancouver is not a town where you really want to sit in your hotel room, right? You want to be out. You want to see the sights. You're near the ocean. You can take a chance to visit some shops that you don't see back home. It's a beautiful place to be, but these guys are very focused on a matchup for second place in the West Division. And it's a team in the Lions that they played 6 weeks ago, pardon me, 7 weeks ago in week number one. You remember the Riders running out to a giant lead with offensive touchdowns, Nick Marshall interception, field goals, but then the massive comeback from BC to make it close in the end. Riders quarterback Cody Fajardo on how much he takes from that game against the Lions 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's gone. It's out of our mind. Maybe you watch it just to see what they did. But for the most part, you move on. We're a much different team than we were in week one, just personnel-wise, players-wise, right? Scheme-wise, there's some things as the weeks progress you get really good at, and some things you're not so good at, so you take out. So I think same goes for them. They're a different team than they were in week one. So you can't really put too much stock into that. Just happy we got the win in week one, and we got to go out and fight because it's going to be a tough game this Friday night, and I think the guys are really prepared for it and ready to go.
And man, scheme-wise is a real understatement there from Fajardo, right? Last week it was fullback and it was offensive lineman and his tight end, and it was absolutely bludgeoning them with William Powell as the running back. Week number one, they were trying to throw the ball here and there. Things have changed dramatically. It's shown a lot of flexibility from this Riders offense. What will they need to do tonight as they face a challenge of a team with that can really cover? And since that third drive that the Riders put up in week number one, the BC Lions have allowed only three touchdowns. Since week number one, incredible stuff that they have put together here as they have also raced to 4-2 to start the season. We are looking forward to a tremendous, tremendous matchup. Luke Mullender slides in next. We'll talk about changes to the Riders' defensive backfield again. We will hear from Godfrey Onyeka, who is one of those changes. He the same as he was last week, but freshly into that Sam linebacker spot. Gosh, we'll hear from Cody Fajardo about his problems with interceptions. Jason Shivers, the defensive coordinator, on the challenge that Michael Riley presents, and oh so much more as we get you set for what could be one of the absolute great games in the CFL this season. We are 47 minutes to kick off for Claws of America, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. We go to break. Luke Mullender next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage. Weekdays at 4 with Derek Taylor on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Hey, Rider Nation, this is Sean Kleisinger. It's time for Did You Know? Did you know Luchez Purifoy is a huge fan of scary movies? As we've seen, Purifoy wears that Pennywise mask from Stephen King's film It during Bring 'Em Out. His favorite horror films, however, is anything with Freddy Krueger and the 2001 film Jeepers Creepers. And the one thing that Luchez is not a fan of? Bees. Does not like bees. Purifoy will be in a new spot on defense tonight versus his former team as he gets the start at free safety for the Riders. Did You Know is brought to you by Gowan Canada. The perfect herbicide for your canola this fall is Fortress Microactive, combining the action of both groups 3 and 8. It pays to fall apply.
Bees. Bees. Hopefully bees do not include Brian Burnham. If he's scared of Brian Burnham, it's going to be a long night for the Riders. Derek Taylor, Luke Mullender in Vancouver in the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers, best in the bidding business, McDougalBay.com. And Luke, Zinger brought it up there, and did you know Luchez Purifoy in a brand new position, one in this Riders defense and two in his career. When he was in BC, he was a Sam linebacker. When he was in Ottawa, he was a boundary corner. He's been a field halfback for the Riders. Now to safety. Is that a big deal?
No. Okay. Not for a guy like Luchez Purifoy, who's been in this league for so long. Eventually, we talk about it sometimes, DT. It's the X's and O's don't change. It's the terminology and the verbiage that change. And I think that Luchez Purifoy in his second defense under Jason Shivers' experience in Chris Jones's defense, he understands conceptually what Coach Shivers is trying to accomplish with his calls. So I'm actually glad that he's back there. I think that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders got very lucky against the Toronto Argonauts in terms of some of the plays the Argos missed. I think that there were a lot of big plays that they potentially could have given up. I think that against Mike Riley and this BC Lions defense, you're going to need exceptional communication on the back end today, because this is a team that's going to push the ball. And I think that when it comes to the Saskatchewan defense, I mean, they've allowed 18 big play completions to this point, and this is a very different BC Lions team today. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really interested in how this all plays out. Again, when we talked in Mullender's matchup, how do the BC Lions maybe look at potentially creating some mismatches when it comes to Christian Campbell and Blaise Brown, right? Do they stay away from the Marshall, Ganey, Purifoy section of the field and the boundary, right?
Yeah.
It's very interesting heading into this game. You and I have talked extensively about it. And it's a game that brings invokes a lot of questions, right? A lot of different sort of, hey, what ifs, and let's say this happens, right? So
yep.
it's going to be a great game. I think that the CFL fans, I think Rider Nation are in for a treat because I do think that this is potentially the game of the year very early on. And I know we said that about Winnipeg and Saskatchewan in the Labor Day game, and it didn't work out that way.
That was a battle for first place, though.
Yeah,
it just didn't turn out to be so
this is
good.
This is a potentially game, sort of season-changing game, depending on the outcome and the way that outcome is reached today.
The defensive backfield for the Riders tonight will be Nick Marshall, Ed Gainey, Luchez Purifoy, Christian Campbell, Blaise Brown. So Purifoy's in a new spot. So is Christian Campbell, a guy with much less CFL experience. He filled in for two games for Nick Marshall at that cornerback spot, but now he's going all the way across the field to play the halfback spot, which people like to say, since it doesn't exist in American football like it does in Canadian football, that halfback is a very tough spot to play. If Purifoy doesn't concern you, does that move concern you at all?
A little bit, but again, I think that if it's the best move in terms of consistency of the guys out there, right? When you start changing players in and out, right, okay, we tried Christian, we're going to get someone else. Get Mike in there to
Damon
see.
Damon Webb might
yeah,
come
get
in.
Yeah, get Damon Webb. Get somebody in there, right? Like, again, you change the communication dynamic. What you see in the secondary right now may not be what was out there in week one, but at least this secondary's played together. Oh, and by the way, this secondary has also played with the current linebacking core, and that linebacking core has played with this defensive line. So you see a lot of commonalities in that whole makeup of the defense right now.
Yeah.
And that says a lot because, again, there were some opportunities missed by the Toronto Argonauts. There were some busts in coverage last week, and those have to be rectified, especially against an accurate quarterback like Mike Riley. This is the guy in the Canadian Football League. We talk about his toughness. We talk about just his overall abilities. At the end of the day, him and Coach Maximic, their offensive coordinator, have gotten together, and they've really put together an explosive game plan. They are utilizing weapons really well, and I think that with our conversation, for instance, with Julio Caravata here, their color commentator and former Canadian Football League quarterback, they're a run game away from being scary.
Yeah.
So
they're pretty far from that run game.
Right, DT, right? Thank God they're pretty far away from the run game.
Yeah, all right. Talk about the injury report. It's brought to you by the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. SAS Construction Safety Association members pay $50 for most construction safety training courses. 14 riders are on the 6-game injured list. 4 now on the 1-game injured list. They are Jacob Dearborn, who continues on there. AJ Hendy, who had started at Sam linebacker before last week's game. He's on the 1-game. Andrew Lauderdale injured his ankle against Toronto. He is out, putting Brett Boyko into the game, and Justin McInnes goes on to the 1-game as a healthy scratch. We'll hear from Godfrey Onyeka, starting at Sam linebacker for game number 2, about the potential challenge that faces him today in this game against the BC Lions. We'll go to break for Degelman Industries, Nutrien Ag Solution, and Bronc Beer, now available in Saskatchewan. We are 38 minutes from kickoff on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Damn.
Six minutes from kickoff in Vancouver, it's the Riders and BC Lions on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Every pregame show, our one big number, brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea for all your hunting and shooting needs. Visit prairieguntraders.ca. Here's a big number for Godfrey Onyeka, 2, in that it's his second start at Sam linebacker, and it's the second position he started at in the Canadian Football League. We asked him about the difference between the two, this and the cornerback spot he's previously played, and the potential challenge he faces tonight.
So if your corner is a lot more space, right? So you're covering typically, like, it, even if you're in zone, ends up typically being you versus, like, the number one receiver kind of thing. And he's got, like, 20 yards of room to, like, make a move, run, whatever. But at Sam, everything's a lot more compact. Like, even if you're covering a receiver, it's more, like, compact. And I'm a bigger guy. I'm not the quickest guy in the world, but I'm a pretty strong guy. So it's easier for me to get my hands on people and run with them at Sam. So they're both, like, field corner, you can eliminate, like, 20 routes. You just got to play, like, 4 routes. Sam, everything's on the table, but it's a lot more like personal. So it's a, it's really just whatever your preference is.
I was thinking about the task that may be in front of you of, in the same game, you may have to deal with Javon Kotoy, who's the size of a brick house, yeah, and then Brian Burnham, who I refer to as Brian effing Burnham because he's just, he's that good. Please tell me about working with, against two totally different players.
Honest answer, I don't think it's, it will be that crazy, to be honest. Like, either way, it's still like me versus them, right? Like, I do understand that they play very differently. Kotori is like big, hulky guy trying to run over you kind of thing. And then Brian's like a very finesse guy, wins the jump ball, that kind of thing. But ultimately, it's still football. Like, we're going to, it doesn't matter whose lineup, I have to compete. I have to play my gap. And then when it's a pass, I got to cover. When the ball's in the air, I got to make a play. Like, that doesn't, the thought process doesn't change. Like, how I might play them might be a little bit different. Like, obviously, a Kotori guy would be a little bit more physical because he's probably in there to block more than Burnham would be. So you got to be more ready to get in the box more kind of thing. But overall, it's still just football. It's man on man. Whoever wins that rep, and just play football.
Rider Sam linebacker Godfrey Onyeka. Luke, one guy's 6'5", 230, and just strong as can be. The other guy is 6'2", 205, and shifty as can be. I don't envy Godfrey Onyeka, but then I was never meant to be a pro football player. I love his answer, though. I'm just going to play them. I know what they are about, and I'm going to play them.
Yeah, Godfrey Onyeka's been out here, and it's important to understand that you're not the only one out there, right? Players need to understand where their help is, where their support is, what other guys are doing around them during each and every play.
Yeah.
Just know where your help is and know what they're asking you to do within the scheme of the call, right? That's why the most successful coaches, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, right?
Bart Andrus. One of their,
Bart Andrus. Mark Trestman.
Okay.
Right? Like,
good. I picked one a terrible one. You picked a good one.
One of the most constant phrases coming out of their mouths is do your job.
Yeah.
You are a piece of a puzzle, and you are an important chess piece wherever you are on the board. Do your job, and it'll work out.
We are looking forward to it tonight. Godfrey Onyeka getting his second start at that Sam linebacker spot, the fourth-year man out of Laurier. 13 tackles already this season. Looking for many more tonight. 32 minutes to kick off. Still to come, the weather report from here in Vancouver. Spoiler alert, it's nice. Cody Fajardo, Jason Shivers on Michael Riley, and so much more as we get you set for one of the CFL's Games of the Year, the Riders and Lions for Bayer Crop Science, Science for a Better Life, SaskTel, AgCo, and the Rough Rider Children's Hospital Foundation's Lottery. We're back to Vancouver after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame. Only on Rider Radio, the source. 620 CKRM.
If you want to try to take down the Winnipeg Blue Bombers atop the West Division, you need to win tonight. That's the message for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. 4-2 record as they take on the similarly 4-2 BC Lions. It was a close tussle in week number one between these two. Some bounces went the Riders' way, and they walked out with a home victory. What does tonight bring? With a dramatically different lineup they're able to put on the field and a much healthier quarterback on the opposite side of the field in Michael Riley. We'll hear from Cody Fajardo and Jason Shivers, the defensive coordinator, coming up. Our weather report, it is 18 degrees in Vancouver. We are mostly indoors here, though. The roof is open. It's a beautiful night in Vancouver, and the weather conditions brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain. We will hear from Cody Fajardo, get more from Luke Mullender, including his three keys to the game coming up. 28 minutes to kickoff for Seedmaster, Battery Depot by CAA, and Special Blend by Weiser's. Riders football action on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage. Weekdays from 4 till 6:30 on The Source, 620 CKRM. 7:30.
Just over 25 minutes to kick off here in Vancouver. Riders and Lions in a battle for second place in the West Division. Cody Fajardo, the Riders quarterback, has thrown 6 interceptions already this season. He had 9 the entire season of 2019. We asked Fajardo if he knows of a difference between this season and last season.
I think trying to stretch the ball down the field a couple times has got me in trouble, throwing a few picks down the field just because you want to make that play. We haven't had that play in our offense. It's that last missing piece. So sometimes you force a little bit of things, like the play against Toronto. We had a post back side by Schaefer. We talked about it all week where this post could be a big play. And I just kind of built it up in my head and I threw it without really reading, just kind of dropped back. And I'm like, I know this post is going to be there. Didn't hold the free safety. Free safety falls off. I throw a bad ball. I throw a pick, right? So it's just trying to do too much, which I alluded to earlier in the interview, is sometimes when you try and do too much, that's when you force the ball, force the turnovers. What we did so well in the first BC game was, or me personally, was taking what they gave me, completing balls to our playmakers and letting them get yards after catch. And if we throw every ball under 10 yards, who cares? And I got to get that in my mind that we don't have to throw the ball down the field to win a football game. We can win games by just having a high completion percentage and not turning the ball over.
I can show this with numbers, but do you have a perception that you're less lucky with your interceptable passes this year?
Oh, I don't know. Sometimes on film, I talk about the sprinkle of Jesus. I think it evens out by the end of the year because there's plenty of balls that should have been picked that weren't picked. So I think that goes for any quarterback. If you watch, I watch enough tape of every quarterback where it's like, how does this ball get intercepted? And then maybe 2 drives later, this ball doesn't get intercepted, right? So that's one of those things. I think by the end of the year, it all evens out. There's going to be plenty of sprinkles and there's going to be some that you're like, how the heck did he catch that? The one I can think of off the top of my head is Big Hill. Like, I just remember that play and I was like, how did he intercept that football? And that's just, these defensive players in this league are getting much more savvy and much better at playing the ball. And so you can't really miss easy ones to them. You have to put it in the spot where nobody can get it.
That's the Riders quarterback, Cody Fajardo. Now stick with me for some numbers here, Luke.
Yeah.
This year, Cody is throwing interceptable passes that are bad and could be picked off 50% more often than he was a year ago. And this season, those passes are picked off 2/3 of the time, where that used to be half of the time. So when I talk about luck, the ball hits Gary Peters in the numbers. Gary Peters dropped it. That thing is happening to him less this season. That's the thing I can show with numbers. When you look at Cody, what do you see as causing more turnovers than we're used to seeing from him?
I don't see that he's rushing anything. I don't think that he's trying to overextend himself by any stretch. I just think that you spoke on it probably week one, and the fact that it's going to be really tough to replicate the numbers of last season for Cody Fajardo in 2019, right? And teams understand who you are after you have success against them, right? Like, it's not as if teams are like, yeah, he's doing really well, we're not going to watch film. No, they actually spend more time watching film, right? They figure out where they look at Jason Moss and try to figure out, okay, how is Jason Moss going to approach this with Cody? So I don't think that he's doing anything terribly wrong. Can he make a better read here and there? Yeah, right? But that's every quarterback, right? And every quarterback's going to have those ups and downs. Here, I'd rather him throw 20 interceptions in the first 6 weeks than 3 interceptions in the last 6. So
very good point.
So I think that he's got to work on getting better, right? He's got to work on figuring out how defenses are coming at him.
Yeah.
And again, one of the things I liked is that he identified the fact that you cannot get stuck on plays. So it doesn't matter. I remember there were times in 2010, 2009, 2008, like every year I played, there were situations that we prepared for, one play, 2 plays that we thought a team would run against us. But that didn't affect the way we went into the game. We didn't say, we didn't spend all our time looking for those situations. If it came up, they came up, and we took advantage of that.
Yeah.
But the fact that he mentioned, hey, look, you know, we worked on this couple of plays all through the week. I was really excited. We got the look. I was convinced it was a big play. I went for it, and it, right? But so that's the thing. You can't get stuck on just because you're preparing. That's the reason. You prepare for success, but you also prepare for the opponent. And so don't get stuck And I don't see him doing that a ton, but don't get stuck on certain things that you want to do. Oh, I really want to. Every quarterback in this league wants to throw an 80-yard dime to their receiver, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Every quarterback in this league wants to have the 60-yard touchdown run, right? Don't get stuck looking for it, though. Let it come to you. You always hear, oh, we're going to take what the defense gives us. Then let them do that.
Yeah.
Because all of that will come. The 60-yarder to Kyren, to Skinnius, to Chafe and Bake, that'll come. Right? But you can't force it. It's not going to come if you continually force it.
Yeah. One of the things, I love numbers. You know I love my numbers. And numbers kind of go, well, we are a four-win team. We have four wins. We're a four-win team. They're great for telling you where you've been, but they're not always going to tell you where you're going to be, right? At this moment, Cody Fajardo on balls over 20 yards downfield is 5 of 27 with 5 interceptions. But you look at that and go, there is no – Cody is way too accurate for that to continue. So he's going to start hitting them. Whoa, he's going to start hitting them.
Is he?
Oh, right? For his career, absolutely.
He has to, right? But, like –
You're going to regress to the mean. You're going to come back to what you are, even though currently you're in an outlier spot.
The reason I said that, though, is you're saying, oh, he's going to start doing that. He's going to – and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, he is, but there's a way to go about it.
Trust that's going to come.
You can get there quicker if you slow down, and that sounds really stupid, especially from a guy with no patience that swerves in and out of Louvain traffic, let alone city traffic, right? Like, but as a football player, you get there if you slow yourself down. You get there a lot quicker because things start coming naturally. Then you're seeing the opportunities and you're not forcing yourself into it.
Focus on the right things, right?
Absolutely. Cody, focus on the things you can control.
Right.
Not on the things that you think you see.
And don't get caught up in the fact that, oh, I'm down right now, but just know that you're not always going to be down.
This game's pretty easy when you break it down, you know?
Goodness.
It's easy for us to say up here, but it's harder to do when you're down there, right? Yeah.
Goodness knows tonight would be a great night for the deep ball bounce back. Here's one to Kian Schaefer-Baker, 98 yards to Kyren Moore, because this is a big one for the Riders and a big challenge for their defense as they take on the guy who might be MOP in Michael Riley. We'll hear from defensive coordinator Jason Shivers on that when we return. We're going to break for SaskTel, Nick Service, and Farmers Edge. We are 18 minutes away from one of the games of the year, the Riders and Lions, on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
The Riders play here. Saskatchewan Sports Radio, the source, 620 CKRM.
4 seconds.
It is to kick off the Riders and Lions on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. The BC Lions quarterback, Michael Riley, 1,600 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, and 1 interception. He had a little bit of a wobbly performance in week number 1, but they figured out how to make that elbow work, and it is absolutely working. We asked defensive coordinator Jason Shivers, what makes Michael Riley elite?
Oh, yeah. Toughness, tenacity. He's smart. You know, he's seen a lot of situational football. So, you know, you definitely got to call the game a little different versus him. He's on that upper echelon, right, where he studied you as a coordinator. And he knows how you like to think. And so you have to be able to throw him some curveballs here and there.
So he knows that you know, and you know that he knows that you know, and on and on. How many levels deep do you get in that?
Oh, really deep. There's things he's looking at that he finds. There's things that I find. And, you know, we've worked together for a couple years. So, you know, I know that he has a ground floor way of thinking about how I see the game. So, just like I have an understanding of how he sees the game, what he likes to plays he likes to run, the way he likes the game to be played.
That's defensive coordinator Jason Shivers on the challenge of Michael Riley. 8 touchdowns, 1 pick. Came in the second half of that game in week number 1 and got away with some fluttery balls. It ultimately almost brought the Riders back. We got about 60 seconds.
Well, it was incredible to hear Julio Caravata and him and talk about the things that they were trying to do in week 1 to get him going, and how when they were shooting him up, the reason why the balls were fluttering so much is because the stuff they were shooting him up with, his arm, was making his fingers numb. Like, that was incredible, right? So, here's the thing. When you 60 seconds, probably 20 now, Week 1 BC Lions, vastly different than Week 8 BC Lions, and both teams know it. And that's where you get all the questions. Because if I'm a BC Lion guy looking at how I used to play, I'm looking in the mirror at a totally different guy in Week 8.
We'll talk about a big change for the Riders, which actually is a change back to how they were in Week number 1. Brett Boyko back into the lineup. Oh. We will discuss what that means to the Riders' offense and their offensive line for a game against a stiff test against one of the league's leading pass rushers. 13 minutes to kickoff for Salford Group, Golden West Trailers and Equipment, and SGI. Take care out there. Riders and Lions coming up on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Stand up. Get loud. Bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation Pregame on the home of the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
10 minutes to kick off. Riders and Lions on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. The Riders have taken the field. There are a lot of green jerseys on the far side of the field here, Luke. The Riders in their all-white jerseys. You were saying, just as we're coming back, there's something different. I didn't quite catch what you're saying.
Yeah, there's something totally different about this game. The visiting team is on the other side of the field. Normally, played my entire career here, and we were on the sides of the broadcast booth. And this, I just look out there, and I realized I'm looking at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders front of their numbers for the first time since I've been up in the booth and since I've ever been involved in the Canadian Football League. So that's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, that's got to be some sort of Rick Campbell change.
Or maybe it's the new owner. Oh. Maybe his booth is closer, is near us, and he wants his team closer to him.
You tell Riley to throw it deep. I own this thing now. Yeah. Amar Doman, the new owner of the BC Lions. Yeah. We got a couple minutes here. Let's talk about the change on the offensive line. Andrew Lauderdale sprained his ankle, and really, it really looked rough when he went back and looked at it in the Toronto game in the second quarter. He gutted it out, but he was unable to practice this week. So Brett Boyko, who has been out with an illness, is now back and playing at left tackle. Your thoughts?
Well, he's got his work cut out for him again. We talked about how much better this defensive line and defensive unit is for the BC Lions right now, and he's going to have to go to work. I'm interested to see how it works out. I think that Andrew Lauderdale has been doing a great job, and when you are a guy coming in for the starter, and I know Boyko has a ton of experience in this league, but when you're the guy coming in for the starter, which he is right now, there can't be your drop-off.
Yeah.
So he's got some shoes to fill now. Despite those shoes being younger than his, he's still got to go in there and do a job.
Boyko was the starter in week number 1 in the game against the BC Lions. He then has missed the 5 games in between, and now he returns for this one. The rest of the offensive line will remain the same. Boyko with Logan Ferland, Dan Clark, Evan Johnson, and Cam Jefferson as they go 4 Canadians across the offensive line. Josiah St. John remains the 6th offensive lineman. The scratches today, Paxton Lynch was brought on the trip. Paxton will not be playing tonight. He is the scratch for the Riders. And for the BC Lions, it is on their defense, former Rider Deshaun Davis, the linebacker, the scratch for them on this night. And you mentioned the challenge that faces Boyko. Boom Gwacham. Has 7 stops for no gain this season, 3 sacks, and 5th in the league in quarterback pressures. Man, the 30-year-old from Oregon State really making an impact in a line that's had to have some changes.
Yeah, there's 2 new players in the Canadian Football League that don't come in as aged rookies. And what I mean by that is as guys who are like the rookie age. It's Obum Ogwachim here in BC and in Toronto.
Oakman, are we talking?
Sean Oakman.
Yeah.
So, and it's been really nice to see those guys because they're the same type of guy. Very long, very athletic, very strong. And, again, he's been the most productive defensive lineman out there for the BC Lions.
Within a very productive defense, Jordan Williams, an incredible 41 sacks at that middle line.
41 tackles, yeah, unbelievable right now. Yeah.
Pardon me, yeah, good catch on that one. As this BC Lions defense continues to clamp down on teams since game number 1 against the Riders. We'll go to break for the Capital Auto Mall, Young's Equipment, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, and Western Ag Professional Agronomy. We are 6 minutes from kickoff. Luke Mullender's 3 keys to the game are next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.